The national debt has become so astronomical we can't even understand the figures involved. Personal debts are also mushrooming, and so are personal bankruptcies. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about bankrupt homes. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, because the world is so weighted with the problems of home and marriage breakup, we're spending a few days on this subject in our daily broadcast. Listen, when the foundation shakes, the whole building trembles. And this is one of the reasons America has lost her Christian image before the rest of the world. The home has come into deep and serious trouble, and consequently has sent shockwaves of insecurity through every level of our modern society. Now, in our last broadcast, we were involved with some of the basic requirements for a happy, compatible marriage. Today, I'd like to introduce the quality of trust as an absolute essential between marriage partners. Now, many people never learn to trust, and they try to gain sympathy by distrust. Husbands and wives use this as a club on each other. They don't trust each other, and they accuse and make evil surmisings. But you see, friends, love really does trust. If we love one another, we'll believe in each other. In some cases, unfaithfulness has so shattered confidence that it may never be possible to trust perfectly again. Sometimes foolish jealousy and stupid attempts to get attention lead people to express distrust in order to wring out of the husband or wife assurances of fidelity and devotion. Now, this sort of tactic is a sad mistake. Listen, when you do this, you hurt yourself and you hurt the other person. Very often, such suspicion leads the other to infidelity. Don't ever do it. You can gain expressions of love and loyalty in ways that are positive rather than negative. Along with trust, there also needs to be faith in each other. Faith is broader than trust. It implies belief in that partner, confidence that he's doing his best for the home, for the family, and to reach his goal in life. It may be that he isn't earning that faith 100%. Maybe he's weak. Maybe he has failures. But doubting him or expressing lack of faith in him isn't going to help the situation. This will only turn him further from his full devotion to these matters that are important. And then, of course, there's encouragement. How can a person get along in life without encouragement? Yet there are homes where days, weeks, and months go by without a word of encouragement spoken by either husband or wife. The husband works hard day in and day out. He feels defeated sometimes because he doesn't get ahead as fast as he'd like to. But the wife just complains and gripes rather than speaking words of encouragement to him. And the wife works hard and tries to keep the home the way the husband wants it. But she probably isn't perfect and makes some mistakes, and he comes along and complains about it. Listen, we don't get anywhere by complaining. That's the normal and natural tendency. But let's learn to encourage one another instead. Someone has said, praise others and they bloom, nag and they sag. And I think that's right. There are times, of course, when we need to face faults and weaknesses in each other and talk them over candidly. For the sake of constructive criticism, that is. But as a rule, there needs to be a whole lot of encouragement and only a little bit of constructive criticism in the attitude of husbands, wives, and children toward each other. And then there's confidence. The word confidence has two meanings, but the one I'm referring to now relates to keeping secrets within the family circle. There are things we should never tell outside the home. Perhaps there are close friends who can help us, or we may need to tell some of our problems to ministers and professional people in seeking help and guidance. But just to spread our problem around the neighborhood is a tragic mistake. If we want to unburden about some of our troubles to a friend, we should always choose someone who is of the same sex and preferably older than we are, and someone who has more experience than we have. If we're having difficulties at home and need counsel, it's best to seek it professionally. That is, from a minister, doctor, teacher, or somebody who is a family counselor by profession. Merely seeking sympathy from those outside the family circle can lead to infatuations that will take you down the road to ruin. Never do it, friends. Keep those home confidences in confidence. Now, another very important attribute in the home is showing appreciation for one another. Few people realize the part that lack of appreciation plays in tearing down happiness in our day-to-day lives. I know of a young man who went through medical school, happily married, really enjoying his studies, and planning to be a general practitioner when he got his degree. But his wife hoped he would become a specialist in some particular field. He didn't think he would enjoy that kind of work. He wanted to be a good general practitioner because he felt it would be more satisfying to help a lot of people in more varied ways. Narrowing his work down to a specialty simply did not appeal to him, but his wife coveted the prestige that she felt would come with his going further in his education and becoming a specialist. Now, he was very happy in his practice at first, but this difference of opinion, her lack of appreciation for his work, continued. As the years went by, he began to be dissatisfied in his work, and finally it became a mental problem to him. He began to hate seeing his patients. He would tell his office nurse he was going out, and he would leave his patient sitting in his waiting room for hours while he was driving around trying to get control of himself. He was about to go on the rocks professionally and personally. He finally went to a minister for help and explained how he had once loved his work and how he simply hated it now. And this counselor was wise enough to ask him some questions about his home life and about his wife's attitude. And when he learned the way she felt toward the doctor's work, he sensed what the trouble really was, and he asked her to visit his office to talk some of those things over. He explained to her how she was ruining her husband's happiness by her lack of appreciation of what he was doing, and showed her the effect it was having on him psychologically. She was a good woman, and she just hadn't realized the effect that her attitude was having on her husband, and she was willing to do what she could to change the situation. The counselor told her to start thinking of the things she really appreciated about her husband's work, the positions they held in the community, their many friends, the esteem his patients had for her husband as a doctor, and so on. He advised her to express her appreciation for these things to her husband and see if it wouldn't change things. So she went home and started to do things differently. She changed her whole attitude. She began to look for encouraging things that she could tell her husband about his work and what he was doing for others. One day a lady down the street, an acquaintance who had been to her husband for treatment, said to her, "I think your husband is the best doctor in town. He helped me when nobody else could." Well, the wife repeated that to her husband, and she began to encourage him and appreciate him. And it wasn't long before that doctor was just as thrilled with his work as he had been in the beginning. If we would appreciate the wife's work in rearranging the furniture, the bouquet on the table, the cooking, you see, that would encourage her to do it even better. For criticism will pay off in poor work. Few of us realize the potential for discouragement and the lack of appreciation, and that potential for good there is in expressing our appreciation. If we would appreciate the talents of our children and encourage them, how much further they'd go. We're always griping about their faults, you know. They need to be dealt with about their faults. I understand that. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we need to appreciate their strong points also. This is the thing that really builds people. One other area of home relationships causes trouble in a large percentage of homes. Many divorces are caused by lack of agreement on how the home finances should be handled. Now, here are three principles that I believe will be helpful. First, neither one of the marriage partners should enter into a major financial obligation without the consent of the other. You've heard the story of a man who said, "When my wife and I were married, we decided I'd make all the major decisions, she'd make all the minor ones. And in the last 60 years, there hasn't been a single major decision." Well, friends, whenever we spend an appreciable amount of money, it should be for something that we agree on together. Unless we've lived together long enough to appreciate our partner's ability in this line so much that we don't mind leaving that decision with him or with her. Now, if the man is in business, he may need to take on major involvements that certainly would affect his family's finances. And he can't ask his wife about every business decision he makes. But when it comes to family spending, if the wife makes a major purchase or binds the family to payments on an appliance or furniture or clothing without counseling with her husband, she's only asking for trouble, and she'll probably get it. Likewise, the husband who gets a new car when they may not be able to afford it is asking for trouble. major decisions should be worked out together. Now the second principle has to do with installment indebtedness. Now I may surprise you by saying that I'm not so old-fashioned as to think that it's wrong to buy anything on time. The economy of today's world, from the government on down, of course, is based on credit buying. And I think it's probably good business for families to enter into installment buying to a certain extent. But I do believe that many people today are wrecking their homes and their happiness with installment purchasing. In fact, it may be indeed that most families shouldn't ever do it except for the major, major items like an automobile or a house or perhaps in some cases major appliances. It may be good judgment to buy some things on installments, as I say, like a car. If you don't allow the installment feature to lead you into getting a car that's really out of keeping with your income. Perhaps a home, and the same principle applies there. Perhaps some types of appliances, refrigerator, stove, or something equally durable. But to buy things that wear out quickly, like clothes, furniture, rugs, food, and so forth, on the installment plan is nothing short of financial lunacy. My friends, that's a way to destroy yourselves. It is an almost guaranteed way to get into discouragement, and it will certainly spoil the morale of that family. It's like paying for a dead horse to buy things that wear out before they're paid for, or to run a bill at the grocery store. There may come times when this is necessary, but usually this sort of indebtedness gives people ulcers, gets husbands and wives at each other's throats, and destroys the happiness of the home. Don't do it. It's much better to wait for those things until you have money to pay cash for them. Even where larger items are concerned, appliances, homes, cars, and so forth, we need to watch that we don't go over our heads with payments. I was reading some time ago in a news magazine that bankruptcy among families in the last few years has skyrocketed in absolutely fantastic fashion. The article gave a number of case histories, and in case after case, young couples had signed themselves up until they had more payments than they had income. It makes one wonder where they went to school. Many families have gone bankrupt because their payments outran their income. We need to recognize that payments should be kept to a small percentage of our income. If we have more than about 40% a month in payments, we're usually in trouble. Let's remember that financial good judgment is a part of Bible teaching. The Bible says that we ought to be diligent in our business. Well, friends, I'm sure that no one has all the answers to some of the complicated dilemmas that come up in the family, between parents and children and husbands and wives, but at least we can learn some of the elementary principles that have brought relief over and over again. And that's what we're trying to present here in our Amazing Facts broadcast. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.